Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. It's 2022 and we're back. Stay tuned. Jillian Bo, welcome.
Hello.
Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Good evening.
Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Happy New Year, bitches.
That's Ooh. Right. Happy New Year. It's going to be an interesting year. I think there's a lot to discuss from the hiatus and also what we're looking forward to in the coming year. Before we get to that, though.
Oh, that sounds like pop quiz stuff.
Well, you never know. Before we get to that, a little bit of casting news that's taken place while we were gone. Richard Berge is out at The Young and the Restless. I think it might be safe to say that from a standpoint of storylines, most of us were disappointed by the storyline he had during his time on the show, but enjoyed his performance. Lindsay Godfrey is returning to Days of Our Lives. She will appear beginning the week of January 17th. And Eden McCoy of General Hospital re-upped with that soap for 3 years. So there's been a little bit of casting news. There are some that's older, but we won't go into that because those people are already on screen. In the meantime, General Hospital took a pause in production as a precaution because of the Omicron variant spreading like wildfire across the country. So it and some of the ABC primetime shows took a precautionary pause. It's going to be returning to production shortly.
This week, I think they return. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jillian, what excited you most about soaps, or what did you most enjoy about soaps during the hiatus?
Days was still that girl. GH was still that girl. I don't know what them Bell shows are, child. They don't know what they are.
Not that girl.
No, like, they had moments. B&B had moments. They did. But I don't know what is going on, because now all of a sudden Carter is interested in Paris. I'm like, something is going on over there, because they made a hard shift to the right for Carter and Paris. When they were starting, we were liking. Let me see. A little show of hands. Were we liking Carter and Katie?
Yes. Yeah. Love.
Not as good as Carter and Quinn.
They've forgotten that happened.
We were liking where that was going. We kept saying we didn't want it to go fast. We wanted it to be a slow build. It was sort of going there. And I liked it because also, even though Quinn was with Eric, you know Quinn was still jealous. And she was showing those signs. So I'm like, ooh, this is going to be a delicious triangle. Yeah. And then you don't see them again. You know, they don't put Heather Tom back in the storage shed. We don't know what Don Diamond did. I'm like, I'm going to have to find out from you what you did, Don. Seriously. And then they just shifted. I don't know what is going on. And then Bold shifted. The Hayes Forrester kids were not pro Brooke fans, but they came to a neutral place. They came to a peaceful. They were like at a, you know what I'm saying? They were adulting
and they had families together. Yeah.
They, you know, you had Steffi say herself, we are family. I love my crazy family. Then all of a sudden, like, the obvious anvil they kept dropping. It was, forget raining men, it was raining anvils. Oh, I can't stand the Logans. The Logans. And then, you know, mom was better for dad. And then Taylor's back and we want dad. And then, you know.
Also, there was that whole thing that Hope and Steffi tried so hard to make their two families work together.
And it just blew up. And then Deacon and Brooke, I'm like, once again, Brooke, not in her right mind, is sleeping with a man. Like,
Mike, what did you enjoy most over the holiday hiatus?
Well, I did enjoy Days and a lot of General Hospital. And I actually saw some stuff in The Young and the Restless that I haven't liked in a while. So I've actually found that when I have been watching some of the episodes with Juan R, I've been a lot more engaged because there's...
Name names or leave it on the playground because I don't believe you. What you was
saying? Oh, no. Like, what? Well, okay, so there was a nice little surprise when Beth Maitland showed up as Tracy.
Yeah.
And she spent that whole day going from Victoria to Adam to Billy. And I was like, oh, my God, this and Phyllis. She commanded that whole episode for me. So there
basically
was that.
What you're saying is it wasn't actual normal storytelling. It was
an
actress who we all love every time she returns.
True.
Okay.
But I also think there's a part of it was that Billy took a step back and they're trying to maybe restructure Adam. And then, you know, Chelsea's back and she has a thing with Sally. So there's Sally, Chloe, and Adam, and you know, that whole thing going over there.
Adam, angels.
So, and you know what? When I saw Adam smile with, you know, that New Year's Eve that he spent with Sally and he was actually smiling, I was like, wow, this is the first time I've actually seen Adam with a smile on his face.
You know what? Like, we'll give the flowers where flowers is due. Like, when Mark Grossman came on, we all said that he's a good actor. He was nailing it. But then after a while, this ain't no shade to this young man. Ain't no shade to you, homie. They just kept him so one note. And what I mean by that, I mean, they just had him one dimensional. It was not the acting. It was just, Adam was just like, always melancholy, you know. Yeah. I'm like, you just needed to be in some Seattle coffee house somewhere, child. Like, he was just so
wear
sad.
Wear that flannel, girl. Wear that flannel.
You know, yeah. Oh, yes. I'm like, oh, my God. And I like seeing Adam smile and be a little playful. I like it. I like that. And, oh, I forgot. Luke said to talk about the positive. My positive. I forgot. How could I? Stupid me. My girl, Tracy Angelica Quartermain.
Come on,
back.
Well, and we're going to get to that.
Yes.
I would say I also like New Taylor. Liking New Taylor. And I'm actually making me like Taylor in a way that I've never really liked Taylor before.
Yeah, has anybody checked on Smitty?
Okay.
Just asking because like I haven't been on Twitter much. And so I was curious what his thoughts on New Taylor were.
I will tell you this. The boys who like Miss Taylor Hayes, who weren't watching, they have tuned back in.
Okay.
And Fred. Hey, Fred. My boo, Fred. Great author, you guys.
I was going to say, he's got a book published. That's right.
Yes, several.
He's got several. You should definitely check them out if you...
Yeah, I just thought there was one more recently that I just saw that was...
Several. My boo is a published author, honey, several times over. He is a diehard Taylor fan, and he is he watches, and he's like, he says he loves her in the role. So I was like, what you think? And he was like, you know how these Taylor fans do with me. They're like, oh, it's so refreshing to have Queen Taylor. I'm like, see, I'm about to block you. And he's just like, he likes her in the role. Smitty, the same thing. The only thing gripe that everybody all seem to have is that Taylor is acting out of character with Sheila. Everybody says the same thing. Sheila, shut your ass. Like, why are you sitting around and give her a chance? That's the problem that everybody has. And
Josh?
I started to wonder, maybe Taylor is being blackmailed by her. I'm like, what is going on?
Josh?
Positive stuff. Let's lead off with Joe Devil. Johnny Devil, J. Dev, doing his thing.
Junior Devil, J.R.
And we will be discussing that more as well.
When those little eyes lit up on New Year's Eve, I just was like, yes, 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 yes.
That's a cliffhanger, folks.
Everything. That's how you do it. Every year that Ron has written Days, they've had a New Year's Eve thing. From Stefan showing up with Vivian to the mask reveal with Kristen and Nicole and John and the big party.
And then old girl, shit. Not I'm about to call her Marty Saybrook. Ooh! No, not her. yes, you showing up. Oh, Cassie should be like, bitch.
And then we got Joe Devil with the eyes. And I was just like, brilliant.
JR. I said,
love it. We've got that. If I've got one positive from each show, I've got more than one. But if I've got one positive from each show, it's Johnny being the devil on Days. Yeah. It is Tracy to the Angelica Quartermain being the smartest bad bitch in all of Fort Charles. And then we even on Young and the Restless. I agree with Luke and Michael on this one. Beth Maitland, who I don't think was supposed to necessarily be there, but Peter Bergman's out and they're doing kind of stuff. She's just gold. And then Krista Allen. I agree about that.
She fits like a glove over there.
She's really great, and Jillian, I'm with you on this. I don't think that she's acting correctly, but in my sort of world where I'm writing the stories myself, I'm playing like she's manipulating Sheila, like she's manipulating her.
Let's clarify. You don't mean acting as in Krista Allen's acting.
No, I mean in my head they're writing the story where Taylor's like gonna keep her enemy closer.
Yeah.
Like. And then she gonna watch her, and then Sheila thinks she's manipulating Taylor, but Taylor's actually smarter than the average person in Los Angeles. I'm enjoying those four things the most right now on all four shows, and it's nice to be able. I ain't got a lot of great to say about Young and the Restless, but Beth Maitland was amazing and has been amazing, and I have a little more positives to say about Bold and the Beautiful, but Krista Allen is the other one, so it's nice to have something positive to say about all four.
My positives primarily come from Days and GH. Days, the Xander storyline with Gwen, I thought was really good on Days while we were gone. Okay. We're going to talk about the Johnny Devil storyline a bit more, so I won't dive into that, but I did enjoy that. I enjoyed the Sammy storyline up to the point where she and EJ reunited. But I was not so enthused afterwards when it turns out that Lucas is the kidnapper and then she ends up with leaving town with Lucas.
I
actually love that part.
That they are setting it up so that it will provide an opportunity for Allison Sweeney to return. So I understand it's like logistics.
Well, you know,
I totally understand it's logistics. But from a EJ and Sammy fan who I am enjoying Sweeney and Figureels.
You said it like the last time.
I know. I'm not reading it this time. I'm doing it off the top of my head, which is why I'm mispronouncing it.
There we go.
I enjoy their chemistry together. And I thought that their reunion, the amount of time that they were quote unquote reunited was too short. I was hoping that it would have lasted a little bit longer, because if it had lasted a little bit longer, it will set up whatever the Nicole dynamic is when Sammy returns to town the next time. And so I enjoyed part of the Sammy storyline, but other parts I didn't so much.
Sammy's like dandruff, dude. She's like dandruff. She's a flake. Okay, I calls it.
Sammy and Lucas, Sammy is the smarter one, and I hope while they're gone, she is the one that figures it out. Because I will never believe that Lucas is smarter than Sammy.
What is he going to do off screen, Josh?
Lucas is back this week. He comes in. He comes back. I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. He comes back this week to testify against EJ, knowing that he did it. He's going to be on the stand testifying against EJ.
The thing that I am enjoying about the fallout from Lucas framing EJ is that Kate is in this very interesting position of being a mother, where both of her sons have done terrible things and she's covering for both of them. I think that's a really good dynamic.
She's in a serious issue because she's a mother. She's also friends with Sammy now, and she's Roman's lover. So she's like, shit, these damn boys of mine got me all the way jacked up with this shenanigans.
And let's not forget her pseudo son, Chad. Now she knows that Chad knows a secret.
Chad and her are working together. So, I mean,
Jillian, this is you and I again talking about the smartest woman in Salem.
Yes.
She is in the middle of all of this mess, manipulating all of it. I love it.
But I'm like Mike with that. When Mike said, Sammy, Lucas is never smarter than No, he wasn't. By history, and Josh, you've been watching for a long time now. Yes. Come on,
Lucas is always a dull tack.
Sammy was always the brains. Lucas was sort of kind of like the muscle, like the grunt to do the, like when Sammy would come up with the plan. Yeah, like she would come up with the plan and Lucas would literally get his hands dirty. So
always running after Sammy going, oh, fool, what you done now? What I got to do now?
The drone serving the queen bee.
Yes.
Like when EJ said to her, it's Lucas, and she was like, what would his motives be? I was like, girl, did age make you slow? I'm like, no, it didn't. I'm like, I know they have to facilitate Sweeney because she is once again making her Apple Dumpling podcast crime show thing.
For Hallmark.
Yes.
But see, Jillian, I think they're playing, and here's, let me counter it. I'm with you on this. But I think Sammy thinks Lucas is kind of dumb and dull and would never think he would have the moxie to pull this off, and that's why she didn't think he would do it.
You should always sleep with one eye open about that bitch.
But Kate said the same thing when Chad told her that Lucas did it and let EJ take the fall. Kate said Lucas is not that type of person. She was almost saying he's not smart enough to pull that off.
She always
Let's face it. There's a lot of dumb boys in Salem, Brady.
There really are.
I mean, there's a lot of dumb boys in Salem.
Kate is trying to be nice. Kate know her boy's stupid. She know her boy's stupid. She know every last one of them stupid.
The other thing that I really enjoyed was General Hospital. For me, it was the one that I was watching first. Surprisingly, the trial for Nina was... I didn't enjoy all of it, but I really enjoyed Scotty grilling Willow and then Carly being there to see it. That portion of it I really enjoyed. I'm enjoying Felicia being back in town. I'm enjoying the Cassidy.
I'm glad you are.
I know that's highly controversial. People either love or hate Felicia, but I enjoyed her being back.
She's needed. I will concede that she's needed in this particular
Maxie needs her and it's working well.
I think about your sister, Jillian, every time I hear about Felicia.
Me too.
Victor running around town causing all kinds of problems for Laura and Nick and Ava.
Nicholas, that boy was never Nick. But no, today when he told Spencer and Spencer was bitching, when he told him, look here, you suck it up. I was like, thank you.
Yep.
Ava's trying to throw them a bone there. I mean, he needs to pay for what he's doing.
I ain't gonna lie. Today's episode did annoy me when Trina was like, I saw a mean side. I was like, girl, you saw a mean side of Ava. That boy terrorized you in that fucking art gallery with that fake blood. Are you serious? And he made an ass out of you pretending to be Victor, whining and dining you. And then, oops, I got a girlfriend. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, Ava is getting justice for you also. Like, that annoyed me. I was like, Trina, like her mother was like, I felt as though her mother was trying to echo that, but of course, writing don't do it. But that annoyed me. Trina pissed me off with that because I'm like, you feel sorry for Spencer? He has to. Spencer did the crime. He got to do the time. Like,
I agree. And I think the issue, too, is that Trina has been with Ava long enough to know what she's heard and what she can sort out on her own. For her to take that step back and act like it's a big surprise is a little bit.
I was just going to say, all she did was say, Spencer reports to you. She didn't have Spencer walking in there with a dog collar and say, Trina, walk in to the park or something. Like, I was like,
that would be kind of hot, but okay.
I was pleasantly surprised by Alexis's job search. Story like her going to her being in the class and taking the class and then being told you're too good for this class. I enjoyed that
Sex in the City kind of for me. I was like, well, are y'all watching who watching who first? That kind of mirrored Sex in the City.
I don't mind her trying to figure out what she wants to do. Obviously, lawyering is not going to work for her all the time because of her relationship with the Bar Association. So
what's interesting about that, Mike, is watching Monday's The Young and the Restless, in which it was basically an episode about Michael, and they brought up the fact that like he had to get his stuff back. I was like, I wonder how long it's going to be before Alexis has a storyline where she gets her license back. But the other thing that I
she probably will at the end of this month, because when that heifer had the caucasity to tell
caucasity, say it.
She told Tracy, I'm going to do a story about privilege. I said, hello, bitch. You wanted out of prison because of your privilege. What are you
it's
talking
gonna be about?
About
her.
I'm like, your nephew bought a whole prison for your ass. And also bribed the war. I'm like, what crack rock you on, Alexis?
The other thing, this will may come as a surprise to Mike and Josh, but I finally like Chase a little, opposite of Brooklyn.
Oh, they are.
Brooklyn.
Where have you been?
Chase has not been. Chase has not been an interesting character, but
I am being good chemistry.
I am highly amused by Brooklyn's hot flashes, shall we say?
He's going to be attached to that baby too.
So they all are. They're building this so well, which I guess that sort of leads me to my next topic. What are you guys looking forward to most in the coming year? Now that we're looking at 12 months or 11 and a half months of storytelling, Josh, what are you looking forward to most?
A few things I'm looking forward to on Days. The fallout of Johnny being the devil, and now Marlena being on the other side of it and seeing someone that she loves as being possessed. I think that could be a really cool thing, and particularly because Johnny, as the devil, now has all of Mar Devil's memories. So he knows all of the secrets that Mar Devil knew, which I think would be really kind of cool.
And it's so appropriate that he is the devil.
Yes. And I love as a note to that, the fallout that this is that. Just as you thought, oh, they're doing Chanel and Johnny and Trip and Allie, you just throw in the mix and you have Johnny saying, I don't want to be with you. And now Allie and Chanel all over each other. Allie and Chanel, that kiss, oh, so good.
Oh, my God, I felt so bad for Chanel.
I did too.
You bastard, shut one Chanel and slap the shit out of you.
I actually pointed at the screen at one point when Michael and I were watching Days, and I said, mess. This is a good mess. Yes. Come on, Young and the Rest. Somebody watch this. This is how you do mess. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward also on Days to the search for Sarah. I think that could be a very interesting thing with Xander working with Abigail. That could be a very interesting little play and mixing people together that aren't always together. GH, looking forward to this continued Brooklyn, Maxie, little baby.
It seems like every day somebody finds out about Louise. So it's like, how do you keep this under wraps when people keep finding out about it?
Julian, what do you call that baby?
Well, one of those people got locked up.
What do you call that baby, Jillian?
BLQ2.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm curious as to how long Jane Elliott's going to be on, because just I need her on my screen.
But they just need to offer coins. I'm like, Jane, stop it. You stay your ass right there, Miss Lady. Like, come on, girl.
I need them to just, I hope that we just forget about Luke and that stupid cable car and just be done with it. Although anybody,
I don't believe he's dead. I thought it was
possible that he might be dead until Victor said something, and then it's like, now we have to face this.
He's gonna end up in the same cell with Holly.
That Tony Geary is gonna be back on again, and I could care less if I ever see him.
Well, I guess we're going to just jump topics here, because we might as well dive into it, and then I'll go to the rest of you on what you're looking forward to.
I wanted to get
everybody's thoughts on the impact of Luke's death, A, in the reactions in the city, and B, whether or not you guys think he's actually dead.
Okay, well, so you go with your first thought. Just we'll go around about what we want to do, and then we'll go back to that. That's fine.
Okay, so Jillian, what are you looking forward to in 2022?
2022, Y&R, they have something. They really do with Chelsea versus Sally. They need to keep playing that. Sally, you know, Chelsea keeps doing little petty shit. We need to see Sally let her know, bitch, I ain't no punk. And then we need to let Chelsea know, girl, I almost framed him for attempted murder. Absolutely. What you think I'll do to your ass? Like, we need for those two Clash of the Titans. That can be something spectacular right there if they play it right. And I'm like, Lord, please let them wenches that work for the network, let Josh attempt to do something. I'm like, Josh, get some balls and try to do something in 2022.
Even if you took Adam out of the equation, just Chloe, Chelsea, and Sally would be enough of drama to happen.
I agree.
Yes.
I think it's more interesting without Adam, to be honest. I just like the women together.
Yep.
And then, you know, I was hoping, like, when Devon finally was like, I want custody of this kid, I'm like, this could be a Clash of the Titans as well. But
he needs to throw that money around to start acting like the Titan that he is.
I think it's too little too late for that.
Oh, I don't think anything's going to come out of that. But, you know, the Chelsea, Sally, they have the potential of being the new rivals there. Instead of it being Sharon and Phyllis all the time and Nikki and Ashley, Chelsea and Sally can be those two girls. They just need to take it there. Over at Days, you know, I want to see Junior Devil play out. Like I told y'all, it's appropriate that Sammy's son, EJ's son, Stefano, who caused take it there. Stefano is the reason why Marlena is like, I'm a devil. I see dead people. That's because of him hypnotizing her and having her as his queen of the night and shit. If you do the history on that.
And Jillian, that scene with Johnny breaking up with Chanel, where that portrait of Stefano and that fire underneath it, and it's in the background, and he's talking about Stefano.
Johnny's in the red suit. So and John, let's talk about Carson Boatman being a new guy, embodying this character, and then turning around and giving props to his grandfather in front of everybody made me cringe because it was so. It was so good, it was cringeworthy.
The Emmy race between, if they were actually separating, the Emmy race that could happen between Carson Boatman and Nicholas Chavez for that younger actor.
I don't know how old, like, I can't remember the cutoff age for young. I think Carson is right there.
I think he's over 25, isn't he?
Well, and they don't have that, and they don't change the category.
Oh, yeah, they made it younger.
Oh, they mixed it up. It's a co-ed category.
So, yeah, but, you know, Marlena's grandson is the dad. Like, that's appropriate.
Here is going to be my question about that. Do you think, considering the devil was so obsessed, like when he was first revealed to be the devil, I was like, okay, the devil was very obsessed with Ben and Sierra's baby. Maybe him possessing Johnny was how he was going to get a devil baby through Chanel. And then they broke up then he ends things. And I'm like, I wonder what the devil baby is going, like, if
but,
that is
but
going
Johnny
to be
wants
up
to
on.
Write his story and be famous. That's what the devil said. He goes, you want fame and fortune and I can give it to you.
Okay,
so I think the devil is going to go forward with a movie, which will eventually lead to Sierra and Ben's baby.
Hey, so back to what I was saying. I don't care about that baby. I'm gonna be real. I don't care about that baby. I don't care. I don't care. I do not care. Over at Bold, I do want to see what the hell Brad is gonna do. I mean, we all know it's gonna be the same wash, rinse, repeat. Logan's versus Forrest's, but I'm hoping, with the women saying we're not beefing no more, we cool or whatever, I'm hoping that we will see something else. Like, you're bringing on Paris's mom. I'm hoping we see something else. Like, they need to, like, spruce it up. They need to freshen up things over there. I hope that Bowl freshens it up. Over at GH, I told y'all, Tracy is the wild card in this whole Lou Bailey scenario. We don't know what Tracy will do. Now, I saw some people say, oh, we could see Tracy snitching. Only way I could see Tracy snitching is if it has something benefiting her.
Exactly.
Peter don't have no ELQ shares. So if Tracy probably won't. And Tracy goes back with Maxie like four flats on a Cadillac. She watched that girl mm-hmm. grow up. So, but Tracy is the wild card. We saw just when she was about to tell Ned, Alexis, oh, punk ass, had her arrested. But I'm like, is this arrest going to even stick? Because remember, Mac was like, there was no crime committed when mm-hmm. Alexis tried to have Tracy arrested. He was like, there was
also remember that with Nina too. Sorry.
He said there was no crime committed. He said, I can't arrest Tracy. And he said, you on the other hand need to get your ass a lawyer. Right. So I'm like, why are we even doing this?
And then Tracy's going to have to maneuver the Jason's dead, but Drew's alive. Well, scouts share, you know what I mean?
Can we back up for a second? I thought I thought when Tracy was in town, he was like, you're not under arrest at this time, but you're a person of interest, so you need to stay in town. I thought that this is a situation where Tracy's now being taken in, not for committing the crime, but for leaving town when she was told to stay locally because she was a fugitive. Yeah. That's the way I was interpreting it, but maybe I'm remembering that wrong.
It's still stupid. Like, there was no crime then.
They've reimagined Franco 5,000 ways. This isn't a big deal.
As good as General Hospital writers can be on some aspects, they will literally rewrite their own stories a year later to make things work. And, like, while so many things at GH can be great, that is one thing that continues to be a pop-up flaw for them, is they're willing to rewrite stuff that they themselves wrote a year and a half ago.
We'll let y'all have your peace with that. I do want to know who the hell is gaslighting Liz. I'm like, is it Hayden? Like, who? But I'm thinking it could possibly be Hayden. But I think Hayden is the one in that cell that Victor keeps talking about. I think Victor has Hayden held captive somewhere.
It was Holly.
I think he probably have her too, because he helped get rid of Hayden's mama. So I think he got Hayden somewhere too. Why? I don't know. So I just wonder if it's Hayden or is it some, like, if it's a new player, who's gaslighting Liz? Like, that'll be very interesting. I want to see more of Nina versus Carly. Did not like that Carly got to, I'm like, come on now. You got to have one or the other. Carly not only got to have the last word, bitch, she also slapped Nina. I wanted Nina to mush her. Like, listen.
But Nina's a lot smarter and more calculating than Carly could ever be. Carly's impulsiveness will be the
but that
death
look.
Of her. In
well,
this
not
particular
only that, but Nina can be just flat out fucking insane. So, correct. I mean,
there's only so much you could take from a bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, Carly could read her down. Okay, but you putting hands, like, I wanted Nina to be like, I let that rock. But if Carly does it again, I want Nina to punch her the fuck out. Yeah. I want Nina to knock her on her ass. Like,
but that she already told Phyllis if things go south, she told Phyllis already that, you know, she thinks she could be Sonny's mate. So she's just going to sit there and wait for Carly to self-destruct.
I like no fucks given Nina.
Yeah, when she told that bitch Willow off,
she does it without the hysterics, and love that.
I was so mad we didn't have a podcast that week when she looked at Willow and said, oh, you're not gonna get your hands dirty, you're gonna mess everything up and then sit back. Excellent, Willow. You just fucked over your family that you say.
She said that when she was like, I was trying to protect them. And she was like, how'd that work out for you? The family that you were trying to protect, mm-hmm. they still ended up getting hurt. But she told Willow, bitch, all you had to do was lie. I'm like, hello? You had no problem lying about being with Michael, but all of a sudden you can't lie. I thought Willow makes me sick. Like, I do wish.
I can't stand the character.
You know what? I thought about her the other day. I thought when I was watching her, I said, she can possibly be saved if she was to go a little bad girl crazy.
Yes.
Like, if she was not, like, I don't mean like, ugh, I do not mean like Claire was. I mean, like,
I knew you. That's what you were bringing up.
Just a little edge.
I think she could be like a undercover crazy, like for people not to suspect sweet, innocent Willow. And you see she does some crazy shit, or she's done something to like Carl, like to Nina. And people don't believe Nina because Nina lies. You know what I'm saying? Like, or she does something to Brooklyn and Brooklyn is like, you see what this bitch did? And they're like, Brooklyn, come on, girl. You lied about your baby daddy. Like, she can be salvaged if they were to make her batch like a low-key crazy bitch.
But they need to get her out of Michael's orbit.
Yes. Mike, what are you looking forward to in 2022?
Peter dying. That too.
Okay. Let's see. With Bold and Beautiful, I am looking forward to seeing how Sheila will keep moving forward with her plans to destroy Brooke. I am looking forward to the continuation of how Taylor might kind of start to fit in with the family and work her into the cast a little bit, or not into the cast, but into the canvas a little bit more, in that, you know, that she's always been there for a while. Bold is tough because I know what I want, but I don't think I'll always get it. I want Katie and I want Bill back, and I want Carter and Katie and Bill to be something.
Yes.
I'm interested to see where, cause Cassandra Creech is a name in soap. So, you know, I want her to have some influence over Paris and maybe smack her around a little bit and say, girl, get your head together. You know what I mean? Just metaphorically.
You don't mean literally.
No, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, put hands on her.
No hands. But, and then YNR. Wow. I think the gold is with the, Chelsea, Sally and, Chloe. And that's one thing I would like to see, the rebuilding of the Abbotts. The Abbott family is just.
I would like to see Vicky have a storyline. My girl is stuck like Chuck with Victor. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, the thing is, like, this past year has really been focused on the Newmans.
Been focused on Ashland.
You know, the whole thing with the Abbotts is when Sally Sussman came back, she started off with that Abbott breakfast and it was all warm and fuzzy. And then they built that big story where Ashley was the mastermind behind Jack's destruction. And this whole past couple of years has been Abbott free. They just haven't really been doing anything.
I need for Jack to do something instead of wallowing like a little bitch. Like, I'm tired of you.
And Billy needs to take a 6-month. Billy, I need him to just go rest him for a little bit, please. He has become so unwatchable. There's just, like, if you're going to have somebody be that sort of middle-aged adolescent, you need to see the underside of them, that's the softer side, occasionally, so that you root for them. But Billy is just almost unwatchable at this point.
And I have to say, you know, happy anniversary to Christian LeBlanc. I actually enjoyed the episode because there was a lot of good flashbacks. And you forget how long this guy has been connected to all these people that are still on the show. So I thought it was a decent episode.
And Michael ain't have a hole in his chest yet for the shit that he did.
But however, I would say that it was a little out of context, because how often are Michael and Lauren and Kevin and Gloria ever on? Not often. So I just think that, YNR, I would like to look forward to them just kind of expanding their horizons a bit and mixing people up. Days. Well, your devil storyline is going to keep going and going and going, because at the end of the day, we've got Johnny now who's connected to stuff. Days is something that you look forward to because it's good. Chanel, interested to see how she manages this breakup with Johnny. I'm looking forward to Sarah coming back. I love Xander and Gwen together. The fact that he's working with Abigail is interesting. I like Lindsay Godfrey. I think she's fun to watch on screen. She has a combination of comedy and being able to stand up for herself. And
bitchiness.
She's also a doctor in the hospital. So, I mean, that's always a good thing, right?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, she should be in the hospital, too, because I don't need Kayla diagnosing nothing, because Kayla kind of sucks at her
well,
job.
And we
need somebody in the hospital who knows about HIPAA, because Kayla just telling everybody's business.
Kayla tells everybody business.
Everybody's business.
Like, well, they're all related anyway.
You know, I am intrigued with this.
Girl, no.
Technically, almost everybody in Salem could show up and be, I'm a member of the family.
I also like the dynamic of Chad being the accepting his demerit and telling Kate that he's okay with EJ going to prison because Lucas is the better man and EJ has gotten away with a lot of stuff that he should pay for, which is an interesting thing because Chad is usually not like that.
He tried to keep EJ away from sniffing around Abigail too.
But
Chad not gonna blow up in your face, darling. And you know when Elvis finds out, he ain't gonna leave the building. You probably will. I'm like,
that's
okay.
That's correct. And then General Hospital, wow. I am intrigued with the resurgence of the Cassadine family. The fact that today Victor had no time for Spencer's bullshit. He's like, this is a family thing. They are family. Deal with it. And that's what Spencer needs to hear. Let's be honest. The unraveling mystery.
I was going to say, when he told Spencer, look here, that happened when you were a child. You are a grown ass man now. Like, knock it off.
Spencer needs to stay up out of grown folks' business.
I like also that. Okay, like I don't like the fact that Luke's death is ambiguous, but what I do like is that there's Anna, Robert, Laura, Bobby, all those vets that were tied to him are connected to Luke. Although Luke has been gone for so long, their mourning seems a little off kilter for me, but they're still
like
part of that.
I
know they're still part of the history, and
but
we
no
all lose track.
No lucky,
but we all lose track of our friends, and you know that happens. But so I'm intrigued with that, and I don't know. I think General Hospital has some good promise. I think this storyline with Maxie and Brooklyn is going to be the crux of this year, and I hope Tracy sticks around. To
brack
you
that
know.
Truck up to her door.
No, dude, when I saw Tracy figure out and tell Brooklyn this baby is Louise, I thought of Luke right away because this is the moment that Luke was waiting for. The Tracy, Brooklyn, grandma, granddaughter moment. I texted him. I'm like, Luke, you must have been like peeing your pants today when you saw that scene. So,
okay, really?
You know, Tracy doesn't, she just knows that Brooklyn is into some shit. She doesn't know the true tea. And I feel as though Tracy, when she finds out, they'll be like, that's why I keep saying when you guys are like, oh, they're going to be really upset with Brooklyn. I feel as though when they find out, I told y'all, I feel as though when they find out, when Brooklyn says to them, yeah, I was going to pass her off as mine to get the shares, but I'm actually doing this also to protect her from a psychopath.
What do you know about the Quartermaines? They circle the wagons.
Yes,
they don't care whether they're right or wrong, but they circle the wagons and keep everybody else out.
Y'all, when we did that best and worst, it's gonna take the winds out of their sail.
Yep,
but when they find out why Brooklyn's doing it, they're going to still think of that kid as their own. They're going to band together.
Of course, yeah.
Peter, it ain't going to be pretty. Like, they ain't going to tell Peter, knuck if you buck. Like, they going to really fix Mr. Whispers.
And if they do it well, then you'll have Tracy. Then you'll have Tracy. Like, even though they'll band together around that baby, around Brooklyn, Tracy should also be thinking, I could get ELQ through this somehow, or I could do something somehow. So, like, they'll band together, but also they'll be individually working for themselves.
Exactly.
She's going to band together, but she's also going to be Tracy. She ain't going to be altruistic.
Tracy going to get hers. Come on now.
She's going to also use this to get hers, of course. Like, we're not fools to think that Tracy's going to be all altruistic and be like, oh, I got to protect Maxie's back. No, she's going to be like, oh, bitch, we want some of this coin. We want some of this coin.
She thinks very highly of Maxie to begin with, so I don't think she would care. Yeah.
I think
Tracy. I don't think Tracy really cares about Maxie.
Yeah, I think
isn't. Yeah, that's what I mean. At the end of the day, she doesn't care enough about Maxie as much as she does her own family.
You know what, though? I feel as though once Tracy finds out, Tracy's not like, okay, we know Tracy isn't going to be altruistic, but Tracy's not going to be a cold bitch and be like, well, fuck you and that baby. Get out of here. Like, I feel as though Tracy at first is going to give Maxie shit. But Tracy is going to do what Tracy does best. She's going to step up and have claws out and make sure that baby is protected. But also, like Mike said, well, it was Mike or Josh, right? One of you. What you said, she's going to use that to her advantage also.
See, I think that I think it's possible that we are basically writing too much into Tracy's. I do not expect Jane to be around very long because Jane Elliott's appearances in the past have always been short. So when she tried to tell Ned what was going on and then got arrested, I think that we are basically going to see her and Ned have a conversation while she's in jail or whatever. And then this storyline is going to be going back to being Ned and Brooklyn. I don't think Tracy's going
to
be around.
It's hard to know. I mean, because Jane, I mean, let's be honest. Tracy could have made a phone call to her family, but she came all the way from Amsterdam to land at Laura's doorstep.
Right, but that's because when your spouse dies, you want to be with the people who you love. That's different than
this secret. Nobody in her family likes Luke enough.
All I'm saying is I think it's possible that our love for Tracy is overshadowing the fact that this will likely be a story about Ned and Brooklyn.
We don't know. We don't know how long. You may be right, and we may be, because we don't know how long Jane is staying for. For all we know Frank has a good gift to gab and bullshitting people. For all we know, Frank probably said to her, come on, Jane. And Jane probably was like, let me do it for a little 6 months or something like that. We don't know. We don't know.
So what I'm looking forward to this year is also the culmination of this baby storyline. I think that there is so much potential. What I would love to have happen is that Peter actually die, but I'm not holding my breath, because if I don't, I would choke
you
and die
died.
Myself.
I say that too.
Peter will whisper over your grave.
Right. I'm very intrigued by this whole Victor Cassadine aspect, because
I love him.
It's highly likely, if I'm not mistaken, he's the one who has Holly. He's the one who's gaslighting Laura and is basically, we suspect, involved with Luke's death, quote unquote. And we know he was involved with Nicholas and the Hayden disappearance. So all of a sudden, all these people who have just either died, quote unquote, died or disappeared are now being connected to. And I mean, and then we also have Drew, who was technically being held by Victor for Peter. And
it's the ultimate retcon. It's the umbrella retcon.
Right. It's the umbrella retcon. Also, but
he also promised
the name of the
Peter,
podcast.
He also told Peter, I'll help you out. You owe me, boy. So, and Peter, well, and, you know, I want Maxie. So,
and then he made a bargain with Liesl. So I am really interested in what is going to take place with Victor.
And then
this
Bundles did try to hint to Laura that there's a bigger power player when Laura went to visit Bundles in jail. She just
had to think about who the hell is Bundles. I'm like, oh, now
it
I remember.
Took me a moment
come
too.
On, Bundles. Yeah, girl.
On days, got it. I hope that Chanel takes Johnny for a bunch of Demira money, because there wasn't a prenup.
Yes, girl.
And
yes.
She should be, at this point, she should be out for vengeance, and all of EJ's smart-ass stuff about her being a part of the family and stuff, she should take them to the cleaners for
she
the divorce
say,
settlement.
She had no prenup.
If EJ thinks she's a gold digger, then go ahead and be
well,
one.
And that's
and
where
the thing
is
to step in.
If,
and help
if
her.
EJ is going to be on trial, depending on the outcome of that trial, there may not be anybody there to protect Johnny from said divorce lawsuit. Because and the Demira mansion, because or not the Demira mansion, but the Demira money. Because do you think Chad's really going to do anything? And if I had to choose between Chad winning and Chanel with her mama backing her, Chanel's winning.
And I mean, they've already kind of set up Anna. Anna already likes Chanel. They've
and Paulina.
Set that up. And so they immediately had Anna and Paulina sort of immediately bond, and Anna likes Chanel. And so maybe that's a thing. Maybe that's one of the reasons that Anna and Tony are back.
I'm very intrigued by what's going to happen with Gwen this year because of the fact that she was manipulated by Kristen and has now found herself in a situation that was not of her own making per se, and is basically no matter what she does, the rug's going to be pulled out from under her. I think that that has a lot of potential for the coming
year.
That
for me is one of my favorite soap characters ever. The person that always finds himself in a trap. If they do the right thing, they're screwed. If they do keep going into the trap deeper, they're screwed.
So Gwen, for like me, Gloria too. Ugh.
No. I mean, like
nah,
the Gwen,
he's
like,
about, like
no, the
about
Carly,
like Carly
Tennies, the Nicole
Walker,
Walkers, the you know, I
speaking
think those
of
characters
which,
like that are always intriguing
I mean,
to me.
Speaking
of Nicole, that's what I would like in 2022, is for Nicole to not be wasted on bad storylines. Her and EJ was fun briefly, but I could not believe that I was wasting my television viewing time with a beheaded teddy bear. I was like,
oh, thank you, Ava, by the way.
What
thank you,
kind
Ava, for
of
doing that.
Trent Dawson in a clown outfit or Barbara Ryan talking to a clown is this stuff? I was,
but
like,
I do like I don't agree with you about Nicole and EJ. I really like Nicole and EJ together.
I just said I like Nicole and EJ together.
Oh, I thought you said
no.
I
said
sorry.
But I like that Rafe story. But then all of a sudden I'm watching Nicole deal with a story about a beheaded teddy bear.
I agree with
she
you, but I do
Rafe
like that
as an emergency to come check on the
stupid
bear.
But I do
like that when EJ, after Sammy left, EJ's all trying to get, like, come back to Nicole, and Nicole's like,
But see, what I was sort of hoping for would be that he would have to, like, basically end up being that guy who realized he made a mistake and had to do the groveling and actually do wooing and all that other stuff to try and get her back. Well, it depends on the outcome of this trial.
Come on now. Y'all know EJ don't give a damn about Nicole. That was all to save face before and after Sammy took off. Like, it wouldn't have been believable. EJ don't love that hoe. He don't.
I agree with you.
We're all waiting to see the outcome of the trial, but we also have to remember that Johnny is the devil, and him and his father have a contentious, somewhat close relationship.
The devil may fuck with
so,
EJ.
Yes, uh-huh. There is,
the devil can morph into different people.
Dr. Joshua pointed out to me,
why
the devil,
to be Dr. Joshua,
I mean, seriously, because sometimes he's very analytical, and he said the devil has all of Marlena's secrets, so he's also carrying around everything that Marlena did.
So let's talk a little bit about Luke Spencer's death. Whether that is death without quotes or death in quotes, A, going around the circle, A, do you think that Luke is alive still? And B, what did you think of the reactions by Bobby, Laura, Tracy, his closest? Because for me, like, I don't believe he's dead. He may be, but I don't believe it. I mean, if Peter can end up being in a freezer and then still pop up and alive, what's going to prevent Luke from, like, surviving in a snowdrift or something? But I thought that the performances by those he loved were really good. I was like, where the fuck is Lucky? Mike,
they
what did you
him.
Think? Right. But Mike, what did you think? Okay. Do you think that Luke's alive?
Yes, I do. I didn't at first, but then I thought when Victor said that he had him neutralized, I was like, okay, yeah. There's definitely some kind of game going on between the two of them. So yes, I think Luke is alive. The reaction of Laura was amazing. Tracy was amazing. Bobby, I like that she denied and thought that this death could have been not really Luke. But what I liked about it too was also all of the people around him, even Victor, was saying, kind of mocking him, saying, you know, the great Luke Spencer has defied death, and this is how he goes. It's the irony of life, really. So, yeah, no, I don't think he's dead. Nobody would ever think. Nobody on General Hospital really dies. So,
well, Days do.
Jillian, what do you think?
No, Luke is not dead, girl. She raked in Amsterdam being a bitch. No.
Looking for some more weed.
No. Like, me and Tony, hey, girl, had this debate. She was in her feelings a little bit and was like, yeah, but they did. I'm like, girl, he ain't dead. And I'm like, I didn't care. I said, nah, I don't care. She was just like a character like Luke and,
no,
you know, his
either.
Family who is not there, you know, Lucky. Her gripe was like, you know, you didn't have Lucky there. You didn't have all his kids there. And I said, look, in real talk, that shit flew out the window when the moment Tony Geary kept complaining about his obit will be played Luke Spencer. I'm like, because of you playing Luke Spencer is how we knew, how we know you, number one. Number two, it's afforded you that lifestyle where you could tell GH two tears in a bucket, I'm going over to Amsterdam. So like, you poor baby. Like, I don't care. I do not care. For someone who keeps thumbing his nose at the industry that made him a household name and made him a bundle of money, I don't care. So,
and don't bring him back.
Say, the show has been it has been so much more creative without him on it.
Amen.
I mean, I wouldn't say I wouldn't jump out of a ledge and say he stifled it, but I'm just like, one monkey don't stop no show. Because he's gone, it didn't mean like it complete, like it had a hole in there. Like, no, they're still able to keep on trucking. I don't think he's dead. I don't know. For some reason, I think Tracy may be in on it also. Because when she came to their doorsteps, you felt, oh man, Luke's dead. Like, well, I didn't believe Luke was dead.
She said he's gone, not dead.
Right. She said he was gone. Words, what I say, kids, words mean
first
things.
Matter.
I said, the verbiage, I said, And then the way how she's been acting when others aren't around, and especially with Alexis and everybody, I'm like, we all know that Tracy still is that bougie bitch, but even Tracy has moments when she can still be demure, and she was not doing that. When she still ho-checked the shit out of Alexis for her antics, I was like, And even before Victor said neutralize, I was like, Luke is not dead. Like, they're never going to kill that character off unless, God forbid, something happens to Tony. Other than that, they're not going to kill him off. They all still feel as though he's going to come back. They still think that Jonathan Jackson is going to come back, even though he's living in Ireland somewhere. They all feel like they're all going to come back. They're not coming back. They feel as though they're going to come back one day, or they're able to get them back. Like, it would be something interesting if at the end of this, you do see Tony Geary. That would
see,
be
I don't want him to back.
I didn't say that. I said it would be interesting if you see him. We could see him. Maybe he shot like a little video or something.
Don't need to. You
know, no.
Who knows? Like, but I'm like, I don't care. Like,
I personally am of the opinion that
Josh, you didn't get to weigh in.
No, I'm going to him. Oh. But I'm just weighing in on the Tony Geary coming back. This show, at the time when Tony dominated the show before he left, we had three primary actors who consumed infinite amounts of screen time. Tony and two others. Of those three, two of them are now gone. And we only have one left. So I am perfectly fine with one of the three screen time people not being around, or two of the people not being around, so that other stories are able to be told. Because when it was Luke, Sonny, and Jason, it dominated everything. And not having Luke and not having Jason, it's making things much more creative. Josh,
Luke,
what did you
Jason
think?
Luke and Jason together somewhere. How about that?
Right, there we go. They could do that. Josh, do you think that Luke is dead, or do you think he's alive? And what did you think of the reactions?
I think three things. I think number one, Luke is not dead, and I don't care. I don't care whether he's alive or dead. It's just Tony just undid anything I ever cared about Luke to begin with. Number two, Barbara Jean Spencer and Laura Weber, and those scenes that they had together were gold. Jeannie Francis and Jackie Zeman were stunning. And I remember, and they don't get them to interact enough. And when we seen those scenes, it was just like, oh my God, it's just soap opera gold. The third thing I think is General Hospital has to stop with this. Peter is dead. Luke is dead. And then the mainstream media picks it up and writes these articles. And then they find out it's a lie. Mm-hmm. You cannot continue to do this. Entertainment Weekly picked up Wes Ramsey. Oh, he's dead. He's off. He's gone.
Well, okay. To be fair with them, that ain't their fault that they picked that up. You know what I'm saying? And also,
Entertainment Weekly, if the fact that they're covering him is a good thing regardless.
Right. And that's number one. And number two, that's probably some publicists. They all are in cahoots, baby. So, like, that's
no,
a
you're right.
Story.
And
so,
I get it. And they need to put stuff out. But my issue is that it's like one thing, like when somebody's quote unquote dead on Days or GH and they say so-and-so is exiting the show, that's right. A different thing than saying a character is dead and gone. Like my issue is that if they're going to actually have him be back alive, or like they did with Peter, and they have them back alive a month later, when these mainstream press things have run these stories, it feels so inauthentic that I get the actor is out or this story. It's just something about it that just rubs me wrong.
I mean, that
soap magazines have been doing it for decades.
Right. But this is not a soap magazine.
Soap magazines are almost all dead. So who else is going to do the coverage?
Hold on. You also have to blame the publication, because they have to do their due diligence to find out the who, what, when, where, and why. They just happen to want to, you see, look, I'm not shading them, but you do have some publications and some
blogs. Responsibility. There's a responsibility to do that, right?
Right.
I agree with you. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. You also have some people who also want to be the ones to be the first ones to throw it up.
I hear you.
I had a journalism teacher who would always, like, when I would try to write a story and throw shit up there, baby, here's my paper, looked like a war zone. It looked like fucking Beirut because it was just bloody. And I was
with
like,
that red ink.
With the red ink. I'm like, ooh. He would just always tell me it's about quality, not quantity. And, you know, me and Jamie would have discussions about that as well when Jamie was with the site. You can throw up 20 million stories, but you know what I'm saying? You could throw up 20 million. Josh could throw up 20 million stories, but Mike could throw up 5. And Mike may throw up the 5 that are better quality based. So
thank you.
So
I thought you were going to switch this scenario around, but I'm okay with this.
You're so stupid. But so they're just throwing up stuff to be the first one. They're not doing quality. They're doing quantity. They want to be the first one so they could get the traffic. They're not doing the due diligence like how we do.
And it's also a matter of, with the big entertainment sites, a lot of them don't have people who necessarily specifically cover soaps.
No.
So they're just literally reading off of press releases like they read off of every single other press release that comes from a primetime show.
They get the names wrong. They get the characters
wrong. Right. Yeah, I get what Josh is saying, that it can be annoying to him, but the fact that they're doing it does not surprise me, because a lot of times they're just treating a soap the same way that they would treat a primetime show.
I will say also that Josh, when he was talking about Jeannie Francis and Jackie Zeman, is that Zeman tweeted out how wonderful it was to work with Jeannie Francis again after so much time had gone by. And I thought, wow. As a soap fan, that's kind of sad, because those two have been connected together for decades, as long as I've been watching that show.
They don't have a bunch of men in that age range for her to dilly and dally with.
But what I'm saying is, like, Days would never have let that lapse happen. And the fact that Zeman
just an occasional scene here and there.
The fact that Zeman put that on Twitter and she added at Jeannie Francis and they responded to each other, it's kind of telling for me.
But it was also nice to see.
And also, to be fair, I got to play devil's advocate.
Go ahead.
When Jackie was on, remember Jeannie chucked up the deuce and was like, I'm out, when they had all them COVID. And they
breathing that COVID air.
Right. You know, Jackie was still on. Remember when she was supposed to be helping Maxie give birth to Louise? And then, you know, you saw Bobby here and there. I wish they would still play that Threadway, because they
over the years. I mean, they did have the thing where, like, Bobby, Laura, and Scotty, they did that a few years ago. They just don't keep with it. It's just not consistent.
They need to bring, like, if they're bringing on another man on the canvas, he needs to be somebody that could be with Bobby. I don't mean Bundles. I do not.
Oh, not Bundles. Please.
It doesn't have to be a man, though.
If Victor can have a crush on Leslie or Liesl, he could have one on Bobby.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a man. They share children and grandchildren.
But
so
you could also
share.
I'm just saying.
But,
so I'm just saying.
They have nieces and common nieces and nephews.
But you could also make them relevant. Like on Days, Xander having Maggie kind of playing sort of like a mother to Xander.
Oh my God.
You could have Bobby, or Laura doesn't need it because Laura's in all the stories. But Bobby could have like some younger character that seeks out his advice. And
you know,
but
if they didn't bring Felicia on, if they hadn't booked Wagner back, Christina Wagner, I would have said Bobby being somebody there for Maxie was the next best thing. I liked it when Bobby was kind of like being like in the secret and, you know, guiding her and so forth. Like,
Bobby
probably needs her mama right now. Like, her talking to fucking nosy ass Olivia. I'm like, Olivia, go somewhere. You bitch, you too nosy.
Yeah, sit down.
You got your own kid to worry about.
Exactly.
I'm
Bobby could be dispensing advice and telling the stories of her past, retelling the stories to people who didn't watch back then, talking about Tony, talking about all the stuff that she did to try to give lessons to other people. That provides history, but also makes them still relevant in a mentory kind of way.
And on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Jillian is at Jillian Bow. Josh is at Dr. Joshua09. And Mike is at MPJ24. We thank you for listening to a hopefully great soaps in 2022. So long.
Bye, y'all.
Wanna know?
Awesome.